When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, happy Monday. I just arrived back from Patty Cake Bakery in Pittsburgh. And let me tell you, I'm old, I'm tired, and I deal with children. But not today, because I'm dealing with Robert Karpeles, WE Creative _ish. Robert, happy Monday to you. I'm wired on a cinnamon roll, man.
Man, you are jacked up on a cinnamon roll. We got so much stuff to talk about. Give a couple of quick shout-outs to some folks here joining us, watching live in the chat. Remember, if you want to participate in the chat and you're watching us on X or YouTube, throw us your comments. Christopher Zanto, good morning and happy Monday, y'all. Let's talk about wrestling. And thanks to Triple H, we can say wrestling again. Yeah. Greg Jacobson, rumor and innuendo always makes Mondays suck less. And Antonio Santos, happy Monday to everyone except that darn scapegoat. We will get to everything that happened last night at AEW Dynasty, a pay-per-view I have known the name of the entire time. Dom. We're also going to talk a little Raw, a little SmackDown, a little Billy in the CW, maybe if there's time. But yes. Dominic D'Angelo, our producer extraordinaire, my co-host with the most, who's loaded up on cinnamon rolls. What do you want to talk about?
I mean, hey, I guess we should start with AEW Destiny. Just kidding. Dynasty. Let's get to it. Hey, Swerve Strickland, your new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, defeated Samoa Joe in emphatic fashion. That's what we closed out with. But this was a pretty stacked card. Robert, start where you want on this. You saw the whole show. I only caught two matches to be forthright, and that was the main event. And Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. But let's get your thoughts, man.
So, first and foremost, congratulations to Swerve Strickland, AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Full disclosure, Swerve, longtime friend of mine, was over the moon happy for him to have won the title. It was a strong show across the board for AEW. I think it's sort of, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but even the Bucks admit, like, hey, you know, we do pay-per-views really, really well. And they do. If you tuned in to AEW Dynasty, you got a number of really strong wrestling matches. I think probably the weakest match on the card was the Hook Jericho match, which we'll talk about. But there were several multiple snowflake matches that you got here. And the main event told a very strong story. It had been built well. You got to your conclusion, but it somewhat felt lesser than, because you had just seen a number of no holds barred, just we're giving it our all kinds of matches. And Swerve's moment with JR on commentary, that piece of it worked. Some folks saying Excalibur didn't feel as full throated as he should have been.
I said that.
You're one of the people. You're one of the throngs of people. Dom, why did you feel that, by the way?
Listen, like, I thought JR was darn good on the call, like, when the victory happened and stuff like that. And, like, it just adds a little bit more panache to it, I guess. When Excalibur happened to, like, he kind of sold it like he was going into a commercial break almost. Like, it was just, oh, this is an everyday occurrence. First champ, African-American champion, blah, blah, blah. Like, not just undersold it, I thought, a little bit. Now, not that it took away from it that much, to be honest. It's just something that I noticed. And I just thought the finish, though, was great. Like, between Swerve and Joe. Like,
finish was great. It's very tough with the Swerve stomp. And this was no different, where it's like Joe was trying to get up, like watching a toddler who has fallen over. That one piece, I could have been a little crisper, but I think overall it was a well-told story. It was a well-executed match. I would have liked to have seen Joe probably hold the title longer.
Yes.
I've enjoyed the Samoa Joe title reign, and I think part of the challenge right now is we just saw a new champion anointed in WWE. So the audience is getting acclimated and accustomed to Cody being champion there. Yes, Damian Priest is World Heavyweight Champion.
Hey, and honestly, in New Japan, too, we got a new champ.
Stop that. Get that Scott Chaplin nonsense out of here, Dom. This is the other show. I would have liked to have seen Joe hold it a little longer, potentially. I thought for half a second when Nana was up there with all the belt nonsense that he was turning on Swerve. We didn't get that. And now Swerve is the new champion. Now we have to build a new challenger for him. Maybe this is how we bring Hangman Page back. I don't know. But it's kind of fun when you come off a pay-per-view. Hey, where are we going from here? So where are we going from here? What other match do you want to talk about?
Let's
off like crazy.
Let's talk about the match of the year. People are talking about the match of ever.
Oh, you mean Hook and Chris Jericho?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, let's start with that one.
No.
Let's talk about Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay here. They went about over 30 minutes and really great match. I mean, people are really highly praising it, rightfully so, I think, but people are going a little over the top by saying it's the greatest match of all time when it's fresh, not even 24 hours removed from it. But Robert, let's get your thoughts on that. Yeah. What do you think about that, Val?
So before the match even started, crowd chanting, "This is awesome." I get it. It's an epic moment. It's what you want. It felt like a very big, important match in some ways. One of the things that struck me as odd was no Jim Ross on the commentary at all.
Yes.
JR had made it no secret that he wanted to call this match. That was his dream. That was his hope. And he was not on the call for this match. The person who was on the call for this match is Don Callis. And
you're a big fan.
Huge, huge Don. Love Don Callis. Never said a bad word about him on this show. Really think he's a strong contributor. No, he detracted from the match to the point where the crowd was chanting a term that your brother would have chanted.
That he would utilize.
About Don Callis. It was a fornicate Don Callis chant. And they should have been paying attention to what's going on in the ring. I'm sort of, when you know you have this kind of a match, you want it to take place in a bubble. You want to be able to go back and watch it months, years, decades later and just be plugged in. You think back to, if you go back and watch some of those Savage Steamboat, Savage Steamboat match, not the example I was going to use. Flair Steamboat is the match I was going to use. Savage Steamboat, all covered in storyline there with George the Animal Steel and whatever. Yeah. But when you just had those Flair Steamboat matches or even the Omega Okada matches to some degree, it's like you can just go and watch them and enjoy. And Don Callis on commentary, making it about a variety of different things, not a huge fan.
Yeah, I love the match. And I honestly do think, obviously, I think it's a match of the year contender early on. I think it will be, you know, undoubtedly. Greatest match of all time? That's a little, it's subjective. It's a subjective art form. So maybe
there's always a recency bias. Yeah. There's always going to be a recency bias. It's the same way people coming off of Mania were like, this is the best WrestleMania of all time.
Right. And you want me to put that ahead of WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart and Austin when they had a huge angle in the double turn? Like,
well, that's a match. I mean, WrestleMania 13, top to bottom, not a good show.
Right.
You know, Sid, master and ruler of the world. I don't want to get Sid mad at me on Twitter. I think, you know, everyone thinks 17 is kind of the high water mark for WrestleMania. There are some arguments for a couple other shows. So like 20 under other circumstances would have probably counted as it.
Oh, and by no means am I talking about a full.
No, I know. I'm just saying, but here. Yeah. Antonio Santos has the comment right here. I noticed they've been doing injury angles with Brian repeatedly. I don't like that.
I hate it. I hate it, Robert. I love Brian Danielson. I love Will Ospreay and what he's been doing too as well. And I thought the match was great. And match of the night, match of the year, name it. But the fact that they keep going back to this well of Brian Danielson being legitimately injured when you look at the past history that he's had, and obviously retiring and unretiring, and just constant concern for his well-being in the back of my mind, and I'm sure other fans' minds too, where that comes to, hey, how's he going to, you know, what's his future going to hold outside of wrestling? And that's what you worry about. That's taken away from the match itself and the story itself. When these guys could have told a great story in the ring. But if you want to move up further and propagate something else a little bit more, quit going to the injury stuff. I'm sick of it. I'm really, really sick of that kind of angle. It's such a lazy, I think, idea to do. And maybe I'm being harsh on that, but that's how I feel.
So narratively speaking, I understand what they were trying to do. Throughout the match, you had Don Callis on commentary yelling and screaming that Ospreay wasn't showing killer instinct. He was going too easy on Bryan. He was letting things linger for too long. He needed to strike faster. He needed to strike harder. He needed to be more aggressive. He needed to be more ruthless. He needed to show that ruthless aggression. But as good friend of the show, Robert Flores, the wildly talented,
How about that?
Sports personality says, I thought the injury ending was unnecessary. It was. The idea here was you were going to see that moment of the referee is going to go check on Bryan. Ospreay still hits his finishing move. Did he know? Did he not know? You know, was he? The idea would have been, oh, if he would have seen that the doctors were coming, Ospreay would have been like, oh, bruv, I would have held up.
No.
But was he showing the killer instinct that Don wanted? So you're asking questions. The problem was, we know Bryan's history. We know that every moment with him that we get left in the ring is sort of precious. And we've seen where things have actually legitimately been awful for him. So the audience is not thinking, take me on this ride for this story. It's, oh no, did the Tiger Driver move, the move that, you know, we thought a variation of an almost crippled Kenny Omega and kind of took away from that match. Did we just see this here with Bryan? And it's not what an amazing finish. It's, oh crap, is Bryan okay? Obviously, it's a storyline. They talked about it on commentary. He wasn't carted off. It was built as part of the story. But when he's lying in the ring screaming after, the audience wasn't able to just sit back and bask and be like, what a tremendous moment this was. It felt very like it deprived that crowd of that moment. And honestly, what they wanted was a satisfying conclusion.
Yes.
And guys,
you always do.
If you're worried about a satisfying conclusion, can we talk to you about the undefeated match of the year contender that is Blue Chew? This episode sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is the unique online service and delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. When you pop one of these Blue Chews, you're going to feel like Dave Meltzer at the end of that Ospreay-Danielson match, and you're going to be ready to go because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our viewers. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo.
6-9 nice. Says transition of the year, but not of all time, Robert.
Well, I got work to do then. Yes, I appreciate the recency bias, but look, we all wanted to, you know, just kind of bask in the glory and the amazement of that match. It kind of sucks that all people remember is the botched finish. And if you want to protect yourself from that botched finish, BlueChew.com, $5 promo code Rumor. Don't make that noise. That noise was so... I can't get that out of my head. You know what I also can't get out of my head?
What,
the
Robert?
Image of the scapegoat
oh,
showing
he's
up. He's back. it was the least surprising run-in of all time, but narratively it fit that little weasel is on TV. I guess he's going to be part of the elite. So it'll be Okada, the Young Bucks, and not Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. The ladder match as a whole, very strong ladder match. I think we've talked about this a number of times. It's very tough to come up with creative spots, unique spots. Dax bleeding like a stuck pig was certainly a really memorable moment. I like the spot where the sharpshooter with the ladder held on top of him. And then again, them yelling words that only your brother Marcus would use.
Yes.
We knew what the match was going to be. We knew what the finish was going to be. That does not make any of that bad. And we've harped on that repeatedly on here, that you want satisfying conclusions to your matches. You want narratively for it to have been earned. And the fact that they referenced what happened at All In and Jack Perry was supposedly suspended or cast out into the wilderness. And now here he is and he's back and he's aligned with the Young Bucks. Hopefully they keep this momentum going. We've seen FTR Young Bucks matches a lot. They do always deliver. The challenge here was you went from the Ospreay match, which was incredible despite that awkward finish, to a hell of a ladder match, to then your main event. Crowd needed to be let up a little bit. You had two women's matches on this card. You could have plugged one of them in, and I'm not using them as the scapegoat, no pun intended, but Tony has shown he doesn't give them the time and attention that they truly need to be epic. So you need something where the audience has a chance to catch their breath.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about the utilization of Jack Perry moving forward? Are you going to put him in a role almost akin to like a Dom Mysterio where he's the chicken crap heel, so to speak?
And look at you watching your language.
Yes, look at me. Very mindful. Very mindful.
I got to see what he does. Yeah. You know what? Here's the deal. When they turned Jack heel the first go round, it wasn't super believable. His promos didn't feel like they were well earned. He felt slightly miscast. He's gotten a lot of heat off of what happened. I got to see what he does when he's back. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to slide into that X-Pac role where people are booing him for the wrong reasons. And him with the Bucks, it's go away heat piled on top of go away heat for me. But maybe they can turn the corner. I think that's the beauty of wrestling. You give people an opportunity. You never know where that's gonna turn out. We're seeing that no more so than Toni Storm.
Yes.
So there was a promo on Collision. Did you see this promo, Dom?
No. Are you referring to the Thunder Rosa one, or is this Toni Storm?
The Toni Storm promo.
Okay. No, I have not seen that.
Guys, fun peek behind the curtain. Dom is now part of the Wrestle Roast group chat.
That's right.
Hundreds of messages fly through there between the four of us. That was sent there. That's how I found out about it. Woke up Sunday morning, saw it there. She delivered probably promo of the year. It was so intense. It was so well produced. It was so on point as a character and selling that match. I was all in on it. The match itself, her and Thunder Rosa, was fine. You had, you know, outside interference, Mariah May, Deonna Purrazzo. It was a fine match. I think it maybe went about 10 minutes. It was good. It wasn't blow-away spectacular. It's been a while since we've gotten a chance to see a blow-away spectacular women's match in AEW. And it's tough because on the other channel, you're seeing that a lot with WWE. Mm-hmm. So I would have thought Tony, given how savvy he is, given how plugged in he is to what's going on, that he would have tried to, you know, blow the doors off with one of them. Willow Nightingale, Julia Hart, short to the point, very happy for Willow.
Yeah.
Mercedes Moné coming out after feels like a heel move, but we all know there's going to be the reveal of who took her out when the lights were down. And my favorite moment of all time, the Mercedes needs help.
Help. You help guys, her. Hey, someone. Come on, guys.
Alex Marvez, best in the business. Looking at what else there was. Paco
Hey, Cotta. You're forgetting the big match of the night, Robert. It's Chris Jericho and Hook, man.
Well, I'm saving the main event. Saving the main event, Dom. Paco Cotta, solid opener. It was fine. Okada's not going to have a bad match. And Pac had a good match, but whatever. The six-man tag was entertaining. It was a little sports entertainment-y in a good way.
Yeah.
It was a nice way to make you want to see Malakai Black versus Adam Copeland. Hopefully they'll tease that out for the next pay-per-view and won't just give it away on Rampage or Battle of the Belts. And then Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, when we did the preview for this on Wrestle Roast, I said there's going to be a moment when that match is going to happen. It's going to come out. The audience is just going to go, ugh. And kind of what happened. It was a fine match. It was a very solid 20-minute match. That did you really need it on the pay-per-view? Do I need another tease of Wardlow upending the supposed leader of a group? No. So I would have just pulled that match entirely, and I don't think anybody would have lost sleep. Who is going to be losing sleep is the next person that's going to face the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho, after that FTW title match. For years, for decades, Chris Jericho had his finger on the pulse of what people wanted. One of my all-time favorite wrestlers. I mean,
yeah,
the stuff he did in ECW, WCW, WWF, WWE, just loved all of it. Held Chris in high regard. This match was such a bizarre miscalculation across the board of what this audience wants to see. It did not help the presentation of Hook. It did not help the presentation of Jericho. It did not help enhance this show. The narrative going through it was muddied. This idea of Chris apologizing to what he was going to do to Hook, they haven't earned any of that. And at the end of the day, Chris Jericho beat Hook by the rules of the match, because it was a hardcore FTW match.
Yeah.
With hitting him with a bat. And it was everything felt tenuous. It didn't click. It didn't work. I'm excited for Hook to be in NXT. I'm excited to see what WWE does to him, because if this is how they're booking him, that look at Taz after, like it was the Godfather, and look what they did to my boy.
My boy.
My boy.
My boy.
Anyway, I'm good. What's funny is you guys hear the vibrating from Dom's phone.
Yeah, Dom, I moved it.
Still doesn't realize how loud the vibrations are. It is entirely the Wrestle Roast group talking about the Jericho.
Is that what it is?
There's I've missed since this started. The beauty of when you guys have group wrestling chats,
right?
I woke up this morning. I muted my thing because I didn't watch pay-per-view live last night. Watched it this morning. 126 missed text messages.
Sounds about right,
guys. If we got invaded by another country, I would not get as many text messages as I do during one of these. But literally, it is just these guys saying that Jericho sucks, and this is really unfortunate that this is what's going on. I would never besmirch Chris Jericho on this show, and I know you never would, and no one who has ever been on Rumor and Innuendo ever would. So we're gonna move on. What's next? Yeah. Dom, because the last thing I want to do is make a meal of this match. But you know what I want to make a meal of?
Oh man, Robert, I am hungry after that. Still after that cinnamon roll. I'm still
dude, crazy. I am excited for Factor. Guys, let's eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Each fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. I'm bummed about the fact that tonight starts Passover. Happy Passover to those of you who celebrate, which means I will be avoiding any bread for the next 8 days. I'm going to be pretty punchy. I'm usually super punchy around this, but I'm really excited because I was able to calibrate my Factor order for this week. I'm able to play by the rules. I'm going to be eating better than I ever have for a Passover. I'm going to be fired up. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be excited. I want you guys to be excited. Head over to factormeals.com/rumor50 and use code rumor50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code rumor50 at factormeals.com/rumor50 and get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yeah. Whew. That's great.
Yeah,
what a deal. But
I'm super pumped and excited. That's a shoot there, guys. I went and looked. I'm like, all right, what am I allowed to eat? I'm this. I'm gonna be good. Usually it is my wife's like, you're a miserable person to be around during Passover. But this year I will be
Factor's got you ready.
Yeah, slightly different. Yes. Anyhow. Anywho, where else we going with this?
Yeah, dude? Let's talk about SmackDown a little bit. What went down there? AJ Styles, I was there. A lot of fun.
We didn't even get a chance to talk. You were live at SmackDown.
Yes.
You were there in the arena with the crowd. So what was your big takeaway? Was the AJ LA Knight match?
Yeah, the opener was very solid. Like, and AJ is just. He's just on another level at this point still, even at his age. And it's, he gets the win. He's the number one contender. And, it's to what we've been saying about him versus Cody. It's the perfect start off, I think, for Cody at Backlash. And it's really fleshing out the card that we're going to see in France there. And, I thought that was good. Robert, I think the huge takeaway, though, didn't even happen on air, to be honest. And that was the dark match that they had between Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee tagged up to face your new tag team champions in A-Town Down Under. And Ray was super over. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory were really great at working the crowd and everything like that. But like to see Ray up that close up front, just still at his age, it's just amazing what he can do. And the crowd was really receptive on that one. And that was the match of the night, even though it didn't air. But those belts look great, though.
What looked great, Doug?
Oh, the titles. Those titles look great, man. Robert?
I was all ready to be like, thanks for that. Then
we've been talking to AEW.
All right, question here from Antonio Santos. How was the Uncle Howdy Nightbird tease?
I love that stuff. I'm a sucker for like old songs and stuff like that. And
so you got to set the table for those folks that weren't with you in Pittsburgh. Right. Those lucky souls who were not stuck in Pittsburgh, PA.
That's right. So
where the Vicksburgs are from. That's that thing you do reference, guys. Anyway,
yeah, there you go. Middle of the show, they were setting up, I think, for the belt present or title presentation. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they happened to dim the lights, and then this Billie Holiday sounding tune popped on, Nightbird, and people started pulling out their phones akin to Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family, and played for probably about 2 minutes while they were setting up. And then it went out. It's a different artist, but a late artist by the name of Marty Anato is the Nightbird. So you can look up the lyrics. They really do tie into the Wyatt family back in there. So, very intriguing. And I happened to hear about the QR code after the fact when the show ended, and looking at the dirt sheet, so to speak, on scscoops.com, by the way. So, So, Rob, it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah, that sounds like a hell of a... hell of a time there. Shame I wasn't there in beautiful Pittsburgh.
Beautiful Steel City here.
It's a lovely town.
Gorgeous.
It's better than Philly.
Yes.
That's all I can say. Raw is going to be a hell of a show tonight.
Yeah, it's quite the lineup. Gunther's going to be returning, which is a big takeaway. A battle royal to determine the new WWE Women's World Champion. A battle royal to determine the title. What do you think of that, Robert?
I guess the battle royale is designed. Look, you don't want a gauntlet match. You don't want a tournament. You need a new champion to get to the PLE that they've got going on. And when you hear battle royale and women's division, you obviously think no one's eliminating Nia Jax. That's kind of what they want you to think. There's the Liv Morgan element of it. There's some people who are thinking maybe we're going to see a surprise Alexa Bliss debut. I also wouldn't be completely shocked if they pulled in a Bianca Belair from Raw and had her go into this. So it'll give you some fun moments, some fun spots. It's going to spare you having to sit through an Natalya Tegan Nox round one match or something like that. This is not obviously the situation they were planning on getting to, but you got to get to a challenger to get to a match in France and establish who the champions are before going into the draft. And this Raw is sort of the last lame duck episode until we do get to that draft. But there's a hell of a lot of exciting things here, namely you're building your Jey Uso Damian Priest match by utilizing the rest of Judgment Day. So you got it looks like Dom and JD McDonagh teaming up with Andrade and Ricochet.
Yep.
I thought that could have been a six-man tag, but I guess we're going to go with a straight-up tag match, and maybe you get Jey and Priest out there in some capacity. They're doing the World Tag Title match, Awesome Truth versus DIY, and you're probably going to get Cody in some capacity since he was over in Europe with them to bolster that tour. It's your go home show. You know, we're going to find out what happened with Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. What I find really interesting is there's some rumor and innuendo around the fact that Gable is going to align with the Creed brothers.
That's a perfect pairing right there.
And I think seeing them taking out Otis and Tozawa and a serious unit, WWE has built so many great trios teams. It's insane that, you know, they're the ones that don't have a six-man tag title. But between Imperium, Legado del Fantasma, the LWO, the Street Profits, and Lashley, the Karrion Kross group, there's just a lot of stables, and they've seen the value in them because they help elevate a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. So I think Gable having the muscle, having the Creed brothers, shedding the beloved Otis and Tozawa component, only going to make them stronger as we reshuffle the deck starting on Friday with the draft. But the one thing that will remain consistent this Friday and every day is the fact that you can catch Dominic D'Angelo on a myriad of tremendous podcasts.
Oh, geez. Thanks, Robert. Yeah, you can catch me on RVD. That's
what you wrote in the script. It says right here, a myriad of tremendous
podcasts. That is a flat-out lie, Robert. Don't you dare say that. I never write such things.
Like, I would read the run sheet. See? I'm like Shivani.
Yes, go to rvdtv.com today at 4:20 p.m. New episode drops. It's going to be a fun one. Rob and I, we cover some good ground on there. It's a short one, but it's a fun one. It's a really, really good episode, so be sure to check that out.
By the way, fun plug within the ad-free shows universe. They just posted the Something to Wrestle With remix episode about Rob Van Dam. So if you missed that one from they got a couple different things. It's like 3 hours long on Dom's co-host. So you made this guy famous enough that Bruce and Conrad decided to talk about this kid and give him the break that he probably deserves.
Man, right?
And it's a shame because it was just Rob Van Dam's fake birthday a couple of days ago.
Yeah. So
happy 420 day to Mr. Rob Van Dam.
And fun fact too, Robert, his dad's legitimate birthday was on 420. So
that's really? Okay, that's legit weird.
Isn't it?
I love that. Other people who had famous parents, you do a show.
Yes.
With Mr. Greg Gagne.
Great Talk with the Boss. Magnum TA, Greg Gagne. We cover Hulk Hogan this week, so it's going to be a fun episode. That will drop tomorrow morning. So go to Four Horsemen Network.
Which one's supposed to be the boss? Are you the boss in this one? Is this like a Spike that's Dudley Magnum. In the Dudley situation?
That's TA. Magnum's the boss. He's running the whole show over there.
So oh, well.
I'm just along for the ride, man. Me and Greg, we're the high flyers now.
If this was Wrestle Roasts and you said Magnum TA and along for the ride,
there would be a setup.
You guys can fill in the blanks. I'm not going to do that here because this is the happier version of Robert. If you want to hear the other version of Robert, the one that lets you utilize some colorful language and be a little less nice, check out Wrestle Roasts with my co-hosts, Dan St. Germain, Mike Lawrence, Scott Chaplin, and our producer extraordinaire, Dominic D'Angelo. You can get that wherever you listen to podcasts. The same place you can get the audio version of this show. In case you missed this or any episode, you can catch us in audio format on iTunes, Spotify, and the like. We're also streaming live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on the WWE Creative _ISHX account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, the SE Scoops X account, the Podcast Heat X account. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible. We are also on YouTube on Rumor and Innuendo Monday through Friday and Tuesday through Friday on the ad-free shows YouTube. We are not there today because that damn Jeff Jarrett. I blame Tony Khan. Tony, if you would have booked Jarrett, and you would have used him on that pay-per-view last night, he wouldn't be clogging up the airwaves and taking our spot with that Marcus D'Angelo. We're coming for you, Double J. We're coming for you. But we're coming for all of you guys here to give you the finest half hour in all of professional wrestling. So on behalf of the confusing sports mixed up Dominic D'Angelo pirate shirt, Jets hat, dude, I'm begging. Just pick one loser and ride with it. I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Losers for life, baby.
What?
You heard me.